It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. For nearly four decades, Diane Rehm has hosted a daily two-hour talk show on public radio, interviewing politicians and poets, actors and authors. Later this year, my guest, Diane Rehm, will step away from the microphone and embark on the next chapter of her life. Sadly, it's a chapter that won't be written with her husband, John, who passed away last year from Parkinson's. In her latest book, titled On My Own, Diane Rehm recounts her husband's passing, life on her own, and dying with dignity. Diane Rehm, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Paul.
For our listeners who did not know your husband, would you tell us a little bit about John, or Scoop, if you will?
Well, he was the light of my life. He and I were married for 54 years. We met while we both worked at the State Department, he as an attorney and I as a secretary. He was tall, about 6 feet. He had very broad, strong shoulders from having worked in his father's rock quarry. He was extraordinarily bright and had gone not only to a very fine college, but on to a wonderful law school, both on scholarship. He was a great teacher for me. And in the early years of our marriage, that's exactly the role he played. He was at work. I stayed at home for 14 years with our children until, you know, the time comes in probably many women's lives when they realize that it's time to do something else, time really to understand that children are not going to be there forever. So that's when I began my career, and John Rehm was my biggest booster.
You're very candid in the book, detailing struggles in your marriage and taking yourself to task for continuing to work when John got sick. Did you have any trepidation about sharing so much of your life?
You know, I didn't. I really believe that there are no perfect marriages, Paul, and I did not want to paint this as a perfect marriage. I think every couple, whether gay or straight or even just good friends, have struggles from time to time, and it's the very struggles that make that relationship stronger. And I do believe that ours was very strong, despite the struggles about which I did choose to write, believing that when it came to the nitty-gritty of life, we were together.
You say that your husband's slow, deliberate death was unnecessary. What options are you advocating for? What choices do you feel ought to be made available other than what your husband had to do when he made the choice to die, which was to stop eating, stop taking fluids, and stop taking his meds?
Well, let me say right off the bat that I think all choices are available and should be recognized. In other words, what I believe is that if your belief is that God should be the decider, that you should live as long as you believe God wants you to live, that's how long you should live. If you believe that if you're in pain or you're uncomfortable and what you want is palliative care forever, I think that's fine, and that I support as well. On the other hand, if you decide that you are no longer contributing to this world in a way you believe you wish to be, if you no longer feel you want to continue because you're in pain or because you cannot care for yourself or you cannot function on your own, and you feel that the time is right, I believe in that as well. And for myself, I have made that decision. I think everyone out there ought to be talking with their families, with their parents, with their children about what it is they want. That is what I am advocating, that each family have that conversation. I think it's so important not to have your parent, for example, or your grandparent reach sort of the end of life and you not know what it is they want. If you can have that conversation, I think you and they will feel that much more comfortable.
Diane, you've been criticized by some, including the NPR ombudsman, for overstepping journalistic objectivity by attending fundraising events for a Right to Die group. In hindsight, as a journalist, do you feel you should have done this?
Oh, I have no compunction about what I did. I was not advocating for that organization. I was simply there to tell my own story. I was not there to urge membership or activity or any action at all. And the NPR folks, along with people here at my own station, felt that it did cross a line, and I understood their point. However, I had already committed that I would attend three dinners, and I had only attended two, so the compromise was that I would go ahead and attend the third, and then I would do no more until after I step away from the microphone. But on my program, there was never a crossing of any journalistic line. So in my heart, I know I did not violate any journalistic ethics. I also understood how the folks at NPR and here at my station felt, so that was how we compromised.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Diane Rehm, host of The Diane Rehm Show. We're talking about her new book titled On My Own. Diane, I would like to share a passage from the book in which you write an email to Scoop, again, the name that you had for your husband, on what you describe as a lonely, tired night 9 months after he passed away. You say in this email to Scoop, "You decided it was time for you to die. I will always wonder whether you did it really because you didn't want to live any longer, or whether you decided you wanted to spare your family the difficult long-term consequences of your staying alive, watching you lose more and more of your ability to speak, to care for yourself, to think and reason. Was it for you or was it for us? I should have asked you that. Instead, I accepted your decisions because they were your stated wishes. I didn't feel I could interfere. Should I have? Should I have begged you to stay alive? Should I have said to you, it doesn't matter, you just keep going, whatever your condition, we'll be here for you." Why was that important for you to know, Diane?
I think that the day after, we had this long talk within our family and with the doctor present when John said, I'm ready to die. The next day, I came in with a photograph album I had made for him years earlier of his childhood on up to his graduation from French Seminary in New York. And I sat on his bed with my arm around him. We began looking at the photographs, and I said to him, sweetheart, are you sure this is what you want to do? And he said, I am absolutely sure. And with that, John Rehm let me know that he had thought this through, that he had made up his mind, that he did not wish to fall further into degradation. Mind you, he could no longer feed himself. He could no longer walk from bed to bathroom. He could no longer bathe on his own. He could no longer do anything for himself. And he said to the doctor, his children, and me, the only road ahead is downward into further degradation, and I'm not willing to go there. So I think he had made up his own mind. Of course, I, as his wife, will wonder forever whether there was something else I could have or should have done, whether I should have begged him to stay alive, but that would not have been right. He had made his choice, and when my time comes, I want my children and my friends to respect my choice as I respected his.
How were you able to go back to work and host your show with such a heavy heart? You mentioned at one point in the book that your producers were concerned about you.
I understand their concern. Every day after the show, once he had moved to assisted living, I would go over to his apartment and spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours and then go home and have supper and get up and come to work the next day. And during those last 10 days that it took him to die, I did not come to work at all. I stayed by his side. And then a week after the memorial service, then I came back to work. You know, staying home and feeling sad is not good for the soul. And I knew it wasn't good for me. I mean, I could have walked around the apartment all day crying and recognizing the extent of my loss, or I could have sort of run from grief, and I think that that's what I did. I think that work is a consolation. Work is a comfort. Work is a distraction from one's own grief, and that's what I needed. And that's what I chose to do.
One last question for you. Once you are done hosting your radio show, what will be your focus in the future?
Well, for one thing, I have been appearing in a play called Surviving Grace. I play a woman who falls into Alzheimer's. I'll be doing that. I'll also be helping this station with part-time work here, raising the profile of the station, and I will be out and around the country talking about the right to choose and to help people begin the conversation with their families as to what they want. I just think that will be the most important thing I can do.
My guest is Diane Rehm. Her new book is called On My Own, and she is, of course, the host of The Diane Rehm Show, heard weekday mornings at 10 on 90.5 WESA. Diane Rehm, thanks so much for visiting with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.